seriously popular.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
In January 2023, Constance Martin and her boyfriend, Mark Gordon, disappeared and went on the run with their newborn baby, Victoria.
A nationwide search resulted in the sad discovery of Victoria's body, and the pair have now been charged with killing her, which they both deny.
I'm Jack Hardy, a news reporter for the Daily Mail. I'll be in court every day, reporting the events as they happen.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll take you behind the headlines, bringing you the evidence, witness statements and testimony from the Old Bailey in London.
This is The Trial, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon.
So welcome back after a few days off. Now, the jury didn't sit at all last week, which is why we couldn't bring you any further episodes of the podcast. But this week they're back and Constance Martin has finally finished giving her evidence. For most of the time in the witness box, she was being cross-examined by the prosecutor, Joel Smith KC. So today we'll bring you up to date with everything we've heard over the last couple of days.
Today, we'll explain that Constance Martin claimed abuse and neglect are rampant in the care sector.
She told the jury their actions to keep Victoria with them, even living in a tent, were the opposite of neglect.
She also said her body shut down and she keeled over with exhaustion on the night that Victoria died.
And she accused the prosecution of peddling one of the biggest conspiracy theories in the courtroom.
Welcome to episode 16. Whatever you do, don't say she died in your arms.
So welcome back after a few days off. We are approaching the end of this trial now, as Constance Martin has just finished giving her evidence. So in the next few days, it's likely we'll hear the closing arguments from the barristers in the case.
But we're not there yet. So today we're going to be bringing you the final few hours of evidence from Constance Martin in the witness box. And again, we've witnessed a few tense exchanges between her and Joel Smith, KC. And for some of his initial questions, he was focusing on how fit for purpose the tent was to live in. This is the blue festival-style tent that we've heard so much about.
When did you move into the shed?
Roughly about 3 days before the police found us.
About 3 days before you were arrested. And by that point, the tent is pretty much useless.
I don't remember. We could still use it, but one of the pegs had snapped.
Your sleeping bags were soaking wet.
We had got rid of those weeks before.
The materials, such as you had when you went out into the countryside, they had become useless?
We lost stuff, we got rid of stuff, we got new stuff. I mean, we spent 50 days living out there, roughly.
That's because that tent wasn't suitable for living out in the countryside in winter.
We weren't looking to live in a tent out in the countryside in winter. We weren't looking to live in a shed out in the winter either.
You went into the countryside in January. You would remain outside until late February when you were living in a shed.
We were existing in a shed.
By the time you got to existing in the shed, you realised you couldn't carry on living in the tent?
After Victoria died, we sort of lost all of our motivation and drive. Everything we were doing was for her. So after she passed away, I think we both just sort of quit. We didn't really have any drive after that. We decided that we couldn't go on like this. And we went to the shops to get some food to get our blood sugar back up. We decided to exist in that shed. We realise we cannot continue like this. We've got to make a decision because weeks have gone by and the whole country is looking for us. I was thinking I was going to have to hand myself in or bury Victoria's body. At that point, we were in such a frenzy and I was too scared to hand myself in. We realised that we couldn't continue living in the way we were living.
Do you remember what the question was? Did you decide to go into the shed?
Yes, obviously, because we were there.
Brilliant. So did you decide to go into the shed because it was warmer and a better place to live?
It got very cold at the end of February.
Is that a yes?
What I'm trying to say is that Mark was literally starving. He was anorexic. Neither of us had really eaten, so we weren't making good decisions.
The suggestion I was making to you was that the tent wasn't a suitable place to live.
I find your tone patronising, but yes.
There came a time you realised it was better to live in the shed than the tent, because it wasn't suitable for living in the countryside for any prolonged period of time.
When we had all this press presence, we realised we'd got to make a snap decision on what to do with Victoria. And because of our love for her, you want to say it was neglect. But there was no neglect. We had to save our child from being parted from her parents and going into care where neglect and abuse are rampant. First, we had the police and my family looking for us, and then the whole country. So we thought, let's go somewhere for a day or two, away from prying eyes. We said if we can't find a house within the next day or two, we're probably going to have to hand Victoria in. Because we never intended to stay there for any period of time. We never intended to live in a tent with Victoria.
Do you agree it wouldn't have been suitable?
I think people can live in tents, of course, with a baby. You're trying to say that babies cannot be in a tent, and that is neglectful. Our very core reason for doing what we were doing was because of our love for her. It was the opposite of neglect. In fact, I neglected myself to the point I was caring for her so much.
Was it suitable?
You might as well go around and arrest half the world's population then. People live in tents in cold countries. People live in igloos.
The question was, do you think it is suitable to live in a tent for weeks on end?
I think people do it all around the world, but we didn't get the tent to live in. We got the tent to lay low for a day or two, to figure out what we were doing.
So you agree it was not suitable to bring that child into that tent for weeks on end?
I think if we had the right equipment and we were able to go to the shops with ease, then probably. But we weren't in that position, so no.
Now, Mr. Smith then turned to the couple's trip to Hollingbury Golf Course. Now, you'll remember from previous episodes, this was the golf course where the couple were caught on CCTV in the early hours of the morning on February the 20th. This was a week before they were arrested. Now, on the footage, they can be seen rummaging through bins, and Constance Martin has already told the court that they were scavenging for food because they were so desperately hungry.
So, at the time, the couple can be seen carrying a bag for life, and you'll remember a key part of this case is the prosecution's claim that Victoria's body was kept in a bag for life, discarded as if it was litter.
This is a week before you were arrested, so before you moved into the shed.
Probably, yeah.
So where did you leave the child's body if she wasn't in the bag for life?
She would have been in the tent.
So another bag for life.
Yeah, there was a Lidl near the park where we were sleeping, and we went there to get some food, which was when we got the bag for life.
So another bag for life?
Yes.
In a bag for life, underneath litter, unattended.
She wasn't alive. There was a point where we couldn't carry her anymore.
In one of the police interviews, you told police you were worried about animals getting to her body.
The bag was getting heavier and heavier. We don't know why. There were very few occasions we left her body.
The prosecution say that the baby was in that bag for life you were carrying at Hollingbury Golf Course. If the prosecution is wrong, what is in the bag for life?
I have absolutely no idea. It was so long ago. I know there were a few occasions we didn't bring her with us when we couldn't carry her.
What's in the bag for life if not a baby?
I don't remember.
Mr. Smith then asked Constance Martin whether she remembered one of the officers who gave evidence and talked through what could be seen on the golf club footage. He asked specifically if she remembered the questions about the bag for life remaining at all times in the couple's line of sight, and she said she did remember this.
When police came to the shed, they found one empty and one full Lidl bag for life.
I understand that, but we were trying to mask the fact that if someone went in there to try to find her, they wouldn't be able to.
Secreting the body.
Secreting?
Secreting means hard to find.
I don't think that's what secreting means, but yeah.
You cannot remember what's in the bag.
It's 16 months ago. It's difficult. We wouldn't be putting food we were intending to eat in that bag with the body, so of course it is not in the bag.
Then what happens to all the stuff that you put in the little bag? It's empty by the time police arrive.
I really don't remember.
You say we have got it wrong. This is a totally different little bag. So what happened to the stuff?
I'm so sorry, but I really don't remember.
Because when the police came to the shed, inside the little bag with your child's body was a Hollingbury Golf Course scorecard.
Can you explain to me what a scorecard is?
It's when you go on a round of golf, and at each hole you write down your score, and then you move on to the next hole. I think I'm right in saying that. In the bag where your child's body was, there was a scorecard. Is that just a coincidence?
I really don't know.
We'll pause for a quick break there.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, Joel Smith then went back a bit in time to January the 12th and to that trip the couple made to the Texaco garage. You'll remember this was where Constance Martin bought, among other things, a bottle of petrol, which she claims she intended to use to cremate Victoria's body. Mr. Smith said the footage showed she'd gone into the shop alone and initially bought a copy of the Sun newspaper and a small box of matches. She then left and returned around 15 minutes later with a glass bottle, which she filled up with petrol.
Had you gone to the Texaco thinking, I want to cremate my child?
Yeah, it's difficult, unless you've had the same experience that someone has gone through. I don't trust the police. I don't trust social services. And I panicked and thought, I have to get rid of the body.
I think also you had seen some cremations in India?
Yeah.
You must have realised you were going to need some accelerant.
Yeah.
When you go into the Texaco, initially, you just buy some matches. You don't buy petrol, do you?
I left, and then I came back because I needed to get the bottle. I didn't have the glass bottle.
You get sweets. It doesn't appear you need the blanket, so you put it back. You get matches and water, then you left. It's another 10 to 20 minutes later that you come back and get some petrol.
I asked if they had jerry cans, and they didn't, but we had a glass bottle, so I went back and got that.
Or is it because you wanted to start a fire because you were cold?
We had already packed up our tent to go to Brighton. I wanted to have the petrol with me in case I thought it was what I needed to do. That petrol hasn't been used. We were out for 50 days or so. If I wanted to use that petrol, then I would have used it.
Mr. Smith then turned to the arrest of the couple on February the 27th and the accounts they gave to the police. Firstly, he wanted to know the extent to which Constance Martin and Mark Gordon had discussed what they would say to the police beforehand and whether this included a plan to lie.
Did you decide what you were going to say with Mr. Gordon?
Yes. We weren't in the right frame of mind. I knew at some point, if we were caught, they were going to say, "Where's your baby?" For me, I believe that once the police have you in their sights, they shoot, and they shoot to kill. And what I mean is they pile up charges and they like to prosecute. There are stories of parents who go through intense grief, and then they are prosecuted. That was my fear, that no matter how innocent I am, they are just going to want to prosecute me.
Did you both agree to lie to the police?
No, I think 3 or 4 times I said, "Baby, I cannot do this. I'm going to hand myself in. This is ridiculous. I've got to make the decision to go and hand myself in." But then I would just see my 4 children in my head and think, "How am I ever going to get my kids back?" And he said, "Look, if you do decide to talk to them, don't say you were holding her, because they'll blame you." But for me, I wanted to have an autopsy done to find out. Was the onus on me? Did I fall asleep on her? I was hoping there was some underlying cause and it wasn't my fault. But my worry was they would say I had deliberately done it or something, and they would have a field day in the press. Initially, I wanted to find out if she had passed away because of anything I had done.
Did you agree to lie to the police?
Mark was like, "Whatever you do, don't say she died in your arms."
Did you agree to lie to the police?
It's not that I didn't want to lie to the police. It's that I wanted to have a real autopsy done. I needed to know for my own peace of mind, why did she pass away? Did she die because I fell asleep on her? I wanted to find out whether she had an underlying condition, and I hoped it was an underlying condition, so it wasn't my fault. Mark and I have both had bad experiences with police. He is very fearful of police as well, and he advised me, don't say you were holding her at the time.
He advised you not to tell the truth to police?
Yes.
You would have known it wasn't the truth when you were saying it.
I didn't lie. I didn't take that advice. I think he was trying to protect my interests. He's not had good experiences with them, and neither have I.
You say, I didn't take that advice. I didn't lie to police.
It's not that I didn't want to lie to police. They are too quick to prosecute parents. That is what police do, they prosecute. I wanted to have my own autopsy done because I wanted to find out how she passed away.
Did you advise him to lie to police?
No.
Let's look at the transcript from your police interview. Mark was present. He fell asleep also in the tent, but I have told him, because I want to protect him, to say that he wasn't there.
Oh yeah, I'm very protective over my husband because I feel he gets the blame for everything. I just think experience changes people. So the experiences Mark and I have been through with the authorities have not been good. And lots of the time he gets the blame for everything. So I thought they were going to automatically blame him, being a black guy. And I am the good one usually. And so I told him to say, you're not in the tent with me.
He advised you to lie, you advised him to lie, and you did so to protect one another.
Yes, it was a bit naive.
Constance Martin was then asked about the condition the couple were in when they were arrested. And initially, Joel Smith began to refer to some pictures that police had taken in custody. At this point, though, she interrupted him. And she said this was one of the reasons she didn't trust the police, because they'd asked her if they could take a few pictures of her naked. She was uncomfortable, but said she was given assurances. It was just protocol in custody and no one was going to see the pictures, that they were private and confidential. Yet she said she was dismayed to get to court and find these same pictures were being given to the jury.
So Mr. Smith pointed out that she had grazes on her back and scabs on her legs. She said the scabs on her legs were due to running through bramble bushes in the immediate aftermath of the car exploding in early January. Mr. Smith said her hands and her nails were filthy.
You were utterly unable to care even for yourselves, weren't you?
I think Victoria passed away because she was so well loved. But I was actually neglecting myself. I loved her so much, I wasn't thinking about myself. When I was in that tent, I was exhausted. I'd given birth, but I didn't even have time to rest myself. I got straight into a car and was driving 10 to 12 hours to stay on the move, up and down the country in different hotels. I didn't allow myself to rest. The whole time I neglected myself, and that's why I believe I crashed in that tent. When I woke up, I was in a pool of blood. I didn't allow myself to rest after I gave birth. Our primary concern was Victoria, having to protect her from being taken away.
Do you accept that you had reduced yourself to a set of circumstances in which you were utterly incapable of caring for your child?
Victoria passed away on the 9th, so when the police arrested us, it was around 50 days of exhaustion. You kept touting neglect around. The complete opposite is true. My body couldn't take it anymore. I was exhausted. I neglected myself. My body couldn't take it anymore. I literally shut down in that tent and keeled over. That is why she passed away, because my body couldn't take it anymore. It was just the level of exhaustion I was under trying to protect her.
Even on your analysis, you were incapable of looking after that child in that tent.
Constance Martin denied this was the case, but then the prosecutor turned to something that had been found on the couple when they were arrested. He also wanted to know more about why she hadn't been more forthcoming about where Victoria's body was when the couple were arrested.
What was the bottle of wine for? A bottle of Kamala red wine?
We wanted a glass of wine. What's wrong with that?
What about the Budweiser can in the bag containing your child's body?
We hadn't eaten or drank anything for days. We wanted to mask that her body was there.
You're in a situation where the police had come up to you, and at that point you say you wanted an autopsy for your child? Why didn't you say that then?
Once the police had found her body, then I thought I wanted to know what had happened.
You didn't want to know what happened before they found the body?
I was so scared. I was terrified. I was too scared for myself. I thought, my gosh, they are going to eat me alive.
Are you a practiced liar?
If most people had the experience that Mark and I had, they would have done the same thing.
So you would lie to the police to protect yourself?
If I felt we had to.
When police stopped you, they also asked about your child. Do you accept what would have been best for you, for her dignity, but also to find out what happened to her, was to tell police where she was?
No, because I didn't trust them at all. I just knew they were going to try to blame it on us, and that is exactly what has happened.
You were concerned about Mr. Gordon, and calling him Daddy Bear. There was attachment. You felt concerned about your husband. What about your daughter? Don't you think it is better for her to be found?
We hope to keep it secret from the police. But I think if I had put her in an unmarked grave, I would have made it a million times worse. Ironically, I would have made my situation much worse.
You were looking to keep your child's body secret from police?
Yes, I was.
Now, before Constance Martin was finally allowed to leave the witness box, she was re-examined by her own barrister, Francis Fitzgibbon Casey.
Firstly, have you lied to this jury?
No, I haven't. I think maybe I have been too honest about certain things.
When it came to the subsequent interviews that you had with police, beginning on the 1st of March last year, did you lie to the police about the circumstances of baby Victoria's death?
No.
When you said, and I quote, "I had her in my jacket, I fell asleep holding her sitting up," was that the truth?
Yes.
She was then asked about her access to funds, and she said that although she was the beneficiary of a trust, she had virtually no way of accessing the money after her bank card was lost in the car fire near Bolton.
You have been accused of exposing the baby to cold during the time you're in Sussex. Did you expose the baby to cold?
Absolutely not. She was our primary concern. At no point was Victoria ever cold, no.
Once you had set up the tent, how did you find the temperature in the tent?
I don't remember being particularly cold.
So she then went on to reiterate that she and Mark Gordon had done everything they could to keep baby Victoria warm in the tent by keeping her inside their jackets to make sure she was protected from the cold. Asked about the petrol, she said that even if she had been planning to make a fire to keep warm, she knew it would never have been sensible to use petrol because it was an accelerant and would burn out too quickly.
It has been suggested to you that Victoria was alive on or about February the 19th. Was that correct?
I find it ironic that I am being treated as a conspiracy theorist when that is one of the biggest conspiracy theories in this courtroom.
Finally, Mr. Fitzgibbon asked her how she was feeling after spending so many days in the witness box.
I was very nervous when I first took to the witness box, so I'm sorry, members of the jury, if I have not looked at you directly. I found it easier to look away into a corner over there.
How have you found it, talking about the death of your baby?
Hard.
And so, after entering the witness box on March the 7th, 18 days ago, Constance Martin has finally completed her evidence.
So that's it for today. We'll be back later this week to keep you up to date with everything that's happening in this trial at the Old Bailey. We should remind you, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon both deny manslaughter by gross negligence. They also deny perverting the course of justice, concealing the birth of a child, child cruelty, and causing or allowing the death of a child.
In the meantime, you can follow us on X at The Trial Podcast and contact us on thetrial@mailmetromedia.co.uk.
You can leave a comment on Spotify or even send us a voice note on WhatsApp on 07796 657 512. Start your message with the word trial.
See you then.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.